Ruth chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grains behind anybody in whose eyes I find favour." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters, "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" And the foreman replied, "She is the Moabite who comes from Naomi with Naomi." She said, "Please let me glean and gather amongst the sheaves behind the harvester." She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning to now, except for a short rest in the shelter.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray to you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is producing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth.
Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
As most of you know, I've recently returned from the Dominican Republic, and what I noticed this time round was that the society there is far more steeped in Christian language and thinking than we are here in the, well, modern world, so to say. For example, when somebody wants to give somebody encouragement and say, "Well, do this," or, you know, "Maybe you should try that," often they say, "Well, maybe with God's help you should do this." Or when we are discussing plans like meeting tomorrow, I'd say 5 o'clock or so, they will say, "Yes, I'll be there at 5 o'clock, God willing. Normally they are there at 5:30 or a bit later, but so any plans always have the proviso, God willing. We also went on tours a couple of times there, and before the bus set out, and so this was tours with fellow Dominicans, before the bus set out, there always was prayer. Now, this was not a religious tour agency, not at all, but having a prayer just before you set out on some travel, it was just the standard way of beginning your journey. Sometimes the tour guide would pray, sometimes one of the fellow passengers. Also, when you get in a taxi, the driver might often pray, and I suppose it's necessary with the state of roads, but you just see that it's part of how they live together. Now, despite being so immersed in Christian culture, there are some things in the Dominican Republic that do not totally gel with that, of course. There is, of course, quite some violence, some dishonesty. And if you would look at the houses, it seems not the most Christian society because most houses are locked with iron grills. Of course, as in many other poorer countries, there's quite a bit of corruption. And if you know the society there, you would realize that there's quite a high value placed on what might be called erotic satisfaction and beauty. Of course, there's also quite some materialism or consumerism, and along with that, a neglect of the environment. So that doesn't seem to gel with all these Christian words that are used throughout. But contrast all that with our society here in New Zealand. I think not even 60 years ago, prayers would be offered on a bus tour that was just arranged by the local bowling club or something like that. Maybe more in Christian groups. And then normally the prayer would be taken by the minister or some other Christian leader, often not just by anybody in the group. Nowadays, that would be even less imaginable, I would think. But, of course, there's always the possibility that the karakia gets offered. I still remember 25 years ago, when I went to Cape Ranga, the driver then launched into karakia before we set out. That's even more so today. But it seems that in these karakia, progressive Maori are trying to get the Christian God out of karakia and return to the old gods or just some secular values. Today, we hardly ever mention God here in New Zealand or in the Western society, and being Christian is somewhat odd. But still, clearly, there's some Christian influence, from art and symbolism to well-known music. For example, our first hymn, Amazing Grace, it really is a radical hymn of Christian conversion and dedication to God. But it is sung and played quite often. That's probably because most people don't closely read the words and just do it for the nice tune. Also, in our society, there are some Christian values fairly conspicuously among many people. So, for example, the care for the weak, for victims and the downtrodden and the marginalized. Overall, there is a rejection of violence in general, at least in comparison to some other historical periods. There is a concern for justice and compassion, and there's lots of talk about love. These are all concepts that have come from Christianity, but we don't talk so much about God. Now, when we go to the story from the Book of Ruth, we immediately realize we are in a society that's steeped in talk and about God, in language that mentions God. God is referred to constantly. Boaz greeted the workers, "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," the workers replied enthusiastically. It was a common greeting. The Lord's name was on everybody's lips then. And then we further read, then Ruth goes on to glean as laid out in the law. It was one way to protect the weak, to give them some income, even when sort of social security in a less organized society, so to say. So we see that the values of the people of God were actually there in action. Even more than the Dominican Republic, Israel was a society that was orientated towards God. the language about God influenced their way of thinking, their life, and their outlook. Well, we also read that the people of Israel did many wrong things that do not really gel with their focus on God. There was violence, there was injustice, idolatry, militarism, and loss of faithfulness. Just like the Dominican Republic and maybe some of the Pacific Island societies, despite the constant talk about God, people were continually falling short. Well, contrast that with a society that was in Colossae. So Paul wrote his letter to the Colossians there. Here he also had a greeting which said, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father." Now, at first glance, that might seem similar to the God language that we have from Israel or that we have in some of the more religious societies. It was fairly religious language. But to a certain degree, it's different, because even though the Greco-Roman society was imbued with a religious sense, it was not this God that Paul was talking about that was common in Roman society or in Greek society, because Colossae was more more in the Greek sphere of influence. But it was so Paul had a different conception of God. Of course, it was not totally different there. Well, it was not totally different, because there are still some similarities in Roman and Christian thought, but it was a stark contrast nevertheless. Christians in the Roman Empire were different. They had different values, different worldviews and ethics. And to a certain degree, their way of life was also different, and so how they talked about life and the language they used was slightly different. In a sense, today we are more Christian than the Roman world was, even though maybe less religious, our general society, because the society has taken on certain things from Christianity and continues that tradition. So at the one hand, what we have in our society today, it's a continuation of Christianity to a certain extent, but more so probably a rebellion against it. And Paul uses the word father in his letter, and if that is right, then maybe I can compare today's society to a rebellious teenager rejecting their father consciously and loudly, but still using some, at least, part of the value systems that they have inherited from their parents. If I can take this comparison further, for example, the Dominican Republic seems to me more like the society there seems to be more like a naughty child. It listens to the father, but again and again screws up, going against the parents. Sometimes that child is sorry after mucking up, comes back to the father, but again and again cannot keep from being naughty. Well, where do we stand as Christians? If we go by Paul, we are characterized by the love for God. We love our father, our parent. And those who love God, how do we live life then in a world where our fellow peers seem to reject that parent? Particularly, how do we love God with all the peer pressure? We live among people where it's cool to rebel against God. Can we profess our love and our attachment then? How do we express the tenderness towards our Heavenly Father? And what do we do with the love we experience? How do we talk about God? Normally, God is not mentioned when we talk to others, certainly not when we talk in public discourse. So the question is, when should we mention God? What about conversations among Christians? Are we sometimes too slow to bring God into those conversations? Is that because our culture around us seems to reject God that we also are a bit slow to talk about God in church? Well, I've experienced that sometimes it may be somewhat distracting and not too sincere to continually use pious language. But maybe we do need to mention God more often, particularly when we speak with our Christian brothers and sisters. Maybe we need to show in words and deed that God is part of our lives and encourage our brothers and sisters to naturally think about God and to talk about God. After all, we are not strangers to God, so to say, for God is our Heavenly Father. So I encourage you to share the love and commitment to God at least with those who also profess to follow and love our Heavenly Father.